Good morning, Montana. Courtney Kibblewhite here with Voices of Montana on the Northern News Network. And welcome to the final Friday in June 2022. We didn't know it when we woke up this morning, but today is actually a historic day for the country. You've been following the news over the last half hour. The U.S. Supreme Court has struck down Roe versus Wade this morning and will be ending that law and turning those decisions over to the state. Actually, Governor Gianforte has already issued a memorandum this morning, and he says, and I quote, "Today marks a historic win for life, families, and science. With this monumental decision, the Supreme Court has restored power to the American people and their elected representatives." Gianforte continues to be in discussions with legislative leaders on what the next steps for Roe versus Wade ending might potentially be for Montana. So no news yet as to what that may mean for our great state, but something that certainly will be on a lot of people's minds. So today we are going to, there's a lot of different things that could be on your mind this morning. I don't know if you've been out cleaning debris out of your house in Fromberg. That community of 400, 200 people there are working on rebuilding after the floods. Or maybe you're packing your camper, getting ready for a weekend at Swan Lake. Or maybe your mind is on this decision for Roe versus Wade, wherever you stand there. But today we are going to take you beyond the weather, as I like to say, into the minds of those in Crow Country, specifically in Lodge Grass. And that's today on Voices of Montana. So as you know, at Northern Ag and Northern News Networks, we're committed to changing the narrative on mental health. It's my family background is, of course, ranching and agriculture, and it's a bit taboo to talk about how you're feeling. You're supposed to just bury it down deep and get out and work and not talk about it. But there's a lot really that's going on beneath the surface, and that matters to help everyone be their best selves for their families, their businesses, and their communities. So I'm going to introduce a couple guests this morning representing Mountain Shadow Association. Now, Mountain Shadow is a community-based Native American nonprofit, and they're focused on repairing and restoring relationships between children and their parents, citizens and their communities, families and their culture, and individuals and their environment. So before we get into Mountain Shadow Association specifically, and I think it's a really interesting model that everyone will want to hear about, because it goes to that notion of when you see something going on in your community, and maybe it's systemic, maybe it comes from generations of feelings of powerlessness or what have you. You can get together with members in your community and you can do something about it, and that's what Megan Doyle and her colleagues have done. So first I want to introduce Misty. Misty, you're going to have to say your last name for us here. Misty Toynita?
Yes, Misty Toynita.
And Misty's from Lodge Grass. She's a certified behavioral health peer support coordinator for Mountain Shadow. And Misty's got a great story to tell, because she's lived through addiction and now she's rising up to meet a need in her community. So before we go into Misty's story, I also want to introduce Megan Doyle, who's the executive director of Mountain Shadow Association. And Megan, you may know in Lodge Grass, is a former high school teacher there. She's been a professor at Montana State University, and she's also the director of the Regional Community Action Team at One Health. And Megan, of course, is one of the founding members of Mountain Shadow. Good morning, ladies. Tell us what's been going on in Lodge Grass.
Good morning. We started out before with the drop-in center. We didn't have land or anything. We were posted up by the Lodge Grass post office, and we just were working out of an RV. We got through the winter in that until our land was solidified and purchased. The purchase went through. So well, now we have
Misty, let me take you just a step back further to, I want to set up for the audience, and this is a fascinating story because I don't know if you just caught on, but over the last year, Misty has been operating a mental health facility for youth and an after school program out of an RV, essentially, in the community. But, and Megan, perhaps you can help set us up with what is the need in the Lodgegrass community? What are the challenges that the community has faced either historically or within the last 5 or 10 years? I understand you might have some statistics as to what addiction looks like in that community. Sounds like we're not having a great line for Megan. Megan, you might.
Mind.
Oh, okay. No, go ahead, Megan. There you go.
Sorry about that. We've got, we are working on a lot of addiction and mental health issues, but I don't think that's unlike a lot of communities in Montana, especially small rural communities that are, you know, struggling to thrive economically in a lot of other ways. But, you know, really Mountain Shadow started because there was a group of folks that were concerned. A lot of them, you know, I got to work with as high school students, and it's really exciting to watch them come together and to say, okay, this is a problem that is not going to be solved from outside of our community. We need to start working on the health of our local community and doing it together and figuring out how to do that. You know, but not everybody on our team is behavioral health specialist or even has a background in that. But what they do have a background in is being carrying members of their community and wanting to come together and bring the strengths that they do have, the skills that they do have to make a change for the community to just really support folks. So in our community, we have a lot of kids being raised by grandparents. We've got almost no income coming in from those families that have young children because we don't have jobs in our community that they can get. We've got a lot of struggles with keeping families together. A lot of young families struggling to learn how to parent and to do that well. There's a lot of competing stressors that are going on in their family and a lot of inherited things that are happening as well. So we just really wanted to come together and figure out solutions for those. And what we found out was that a lot of the solutions were really around being connected to each other and having meeting the social and emotional needs of each other as community members, and getting rid of the isolation that we have and the separation we have between people, and really forging a pathway to do that. That, you know, is doing the hard things that love is all about, and being consistent and walking through a process that's taking a long time, and also just really, you know, being determined not to get offended by things that are hard, by people that are hurt, and figuring out how we're going to do this together.
And if I could just paint a little bit more of a picture, because I think these statistics are kind of astounding. And for those who aren't as familiar with Lodgegrass, I don't want to paint Lodgegrass in a negative light, because honestly, love the community. And actually, some of the only Browns that my family is actually related to are Mary and Jimmy Brown, who ranch near Lodgegrass. A lot of great people there, both the Indian and whites. Just a wonderful community. But the community is about 89% Indian. In that community, 88% of the area newborns are born to single mothers. 22% of those mothers are teenagers, and half are raised by grandparents. More than 60% of the residents over the age of 14 are experiencing drug or alcohol addiction, and 70% of the county victim assistance cases are children experiencing sexual assault. So those are stats that, I mean, this is happening throughout the state. These are challenges that are happening in many different communities. And what I love about the Mountain Shadow Association is it's people saying we're gonna change and we're gonna end that cycle here. So Misty, let's talk to you, because you've got an interesting story where you have been successful in ending the cycle. Where does your story start for everybody? And I appreciate your vulnerability and coming on the radio and sharing such a personal story.
Sure. You know, all that stuff that you mentioned, the list of stuff that the statistics and stuff, I came from all those. You know, I was raised by my grandmother. I had a baby at 16. You know, I was a single mother at first for that boy. And my grandmother raised me, and she also raised him. I started using drugs at the age of 15. It went on for about 25 years. Through all that, I had 5 children. I had 2 while we were in rehabilitation, while we were getting better. One day, my husband and I, we had been together for 10 years at that time. We decided to go and get better. You know, it was time to do something different. We had both come from broken homes. I was abandoned at birth at the hospital, and my grandmother went and got me and bring me home and raised me from day one. My husband was born into a drinking home and raised by his dad, just his dad. So, you know, we came from broken homes. We got together. We wanted to have kids, you know, that would be able to play with each other, you know, and have brothers and siblings, because we didn't really have any. Like I said, I was, you know, adopted by my grandmother, and he was the youngest of his family. So it was something we wanted to do, although we were in addiction, you know, and it was something we really wanted and yearned for and needed throughout our lives and our experiences to have a family. So we did have, we had 4 kids. We went to treatment in 2010. We graduated 2011. And mind you, we had to go all the way to Washington to find a family treatment that would take us and our kids.
How did you identify a place in Washington that would, I didn't even know there were treatment facilities that would take entire families. How'd you get connected to it?
Well, just a week before, we had decided we were in a slump and we were kind of like at a hard place. And we happened to have a friend come over and mentioned she was on her way there and started telling us about it, you know, and how they accept kids and families. This was like a week before. And then a week later, we showed up there and she was there. So we just loaded up on a bus and left in the middle of the night. We got there, we stayed a year there, and we thought we could just, you know, come on back home, you know. That same night we graduated, we came home, and it was like almost being thrown back into hell, because we came back and there's nothing here, you know. Mm-hmm. There's no support, there was no meetings, there was no peer support specialists, there was nothing, you know, that we could grab onto. I think we found one Celebrate Recovery here at the church that we went to, but when that was over, that was it. You know, and we hung on as long as we could until we were struggling again. And so we went back. I had 2 of my kids over in Washington, my 2 youngest. We went back and ended up staying 2 to 3 years. You know, so we did a total about 5 years to get out of a 25-year addiction. We stayed there until we knew we were firm and that we were able to come home. And, you know, because I had lost my mother while I was there, and my husband's dad was getting older and he was needing him, you know, we needed to come back. But it was not till I fully surrendered that I was able to do that, that the doors opened up and I was able to come home. And we all came home, and we've been doing good here ever since. We got a house here in Lodge Grass. This time when we came back, this is when the community was coming together to try to do something about, you know, all this bad stuff that's going on, you know, and trying to support and trying to build something up, you know, to have something for the people. And so we happened to show up during that time and got included in that, you know. So we've been with Mountain Shadow for 5 years now, and it's just been amazing work, you know. Megan's an amazing person, you know. She's got a lot of great ideas and just a great mind. And so,
and that's Megan Doyle that Misty is referring to. Megan is the executive director of Mountain Shadow Association. And I want to key in on one point that you mentioned there, Misty, and that is the lack of services. I mean, addiction health in general in rural Montana. We do. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting in Billings. We've got the Rimrock Foundation here that does serve people across the state, not entire families, but it does serve people. And you think mm-hmm. about all of the different rural areas that we have, and you're going to get sent somewhere else for treatment. And when we go back to a small community, it's hard not to. I mean, there's not a lot of people to be friends with. How do you create a new friend group when there's not many people there?
Yeah, going back to the same crowd is always not good for you. You know, but I mean, now that I've become stable and strong enough to do that, you know, I'm able to help people and be here and meet them where they're at, you know, and instead of being there, joining them, you know, in using and stuff.
Well, let's take a quick break, Misty. When we get back, we're going to talk about how the community came together to form Mountain Shadow Association. This show is brought to you by the AMB West Foundation, and we'll be right back on Voices of Montana.
Montanans know how special our waters are, but pests like zebra mussels and Eurasian water milfoil can harm recreational opportunities. Please help protect Montana's waters by cleaning all mud, plants, and debris off your boat, recreational equipment, and fishing gear before you leave the access site. Drain water from motors, live wells, and bilges, and allow your boat and equipment time to dry before the next outing. And no matter what watercraft you use, please stop at all inspection stations. Together, we can protect Montana's waters. Visit cleandraindrymt.com.
Building more sustainable supply chains means making the right transportation choices. And moving goods by rail with BNSF delivers the most for our environment. One ton of freight can move nearly 500 miles on 1 gallon of diesel fuel, reducing emissions by up to 75%. Shipping long-haul freight on BNSF improves sustainability for businesses and our communities. That's why orange is the new green.
What's the best way to responsibly enjoy and protect Montana state parks while creating lasting memories? Plan ahead. Check the status of your destination and surrounding community beforehand. Make sure that you have the gear you need and a backup plan. Creating a memorable and safe experience begins with being prepared. Visit fwp.mt.gov/stateparks to familiarize yourself on the importance of recreating responsibly.
Hi, I'm Bill Coffey, CEO of Stockman Bank. As a family-owned and operated community bank, we are focused only on serving the people, businesses, and communities of Montana. And now we are proud to be named one of the world's best banks by Forbes. We thank our customers for the trust you have put in us to meet your financial needs. If you don't know us, stop by and discover the difference at Stockman Bank, Montana's brand of banking, member FDIC.
Welcome back to Voices of Montana. I'm Courtney Kibble-White. And again, despite what's going on in the national headlines with the U.S. Supreme Court striking down Roe versus Wade this morning and the floods folks are facing in southeast Montana, the drought in northern Montana, there's a lot going on, but we're getting beyond the weather. And we are talking to a group out of Lodgegrass, the Mountain Shadow Association, Executive Director Megan Doyle and Peer Support Coordinator Misty Toineeta. And we just heard Misty's story coming from essentially being abandoned at the hospital, raised by her grandmother, ending up in addiction, and then finally breaking the cycle after a couple attempts at treatment. I have to think, Misty, that with these numbers and this perpetual challenges within the community, there's nobody that's not touched by the effects of addiction. Yeah. I mean, 60% of residents experiencing drug or alcohol. It's if it's not you, it's your friend or your mother or your sister. It's somebody that you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, tell us and Megan. I'm not sure who should share the story, but I understand in 2017, six couples came together to try and figure out an action plan for change. That's a pretty incredible. I mean, it sounds like a mountain, to be honest. So who are those six people and what on earth were they thinking?
I'll let Megan.
Thank you, Lucy. Well, they're average people for the most part. You know, they were folks from Lodgegrass community. So when I was a high school teacher, I knew most of these guys as high school students and we stayed in touch over, you know, 15, 20 years. And I think it's common experience for all of us that we, you know, look at the problems around us and they seem big and we think, how are we ever going to have enough money or enough knowledge or enough expertise to solve these problems? And it can be really easy to get stuck in that spot. And I think we just came to a question one day, sort of accidentally, like, we could do more than just pray about this problem. What would we want to do? And then we just decided we had to take a step. We just decided we're never going to be in the spot where, you know, we think we have enough to handle this. And so we just took a step and we applied for a grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. They don't usually fund small communities like ours, so it was awesome that they came, and we were partnered with a group called the Greater Good Studio, and they helped us do a family-centered design process where we just brought together our whole community, literally our whole community. Everyone was invited to participate, and we collected information and feedback from them about, you know, where are we at, what are our issues, what are our assets, and like even the kids, you know, they came and they built Main Street out of Legos. Like, what do we want Main Street to look like in our future? And what are the things that we want that make this community thrive and that make families thrive in this community? So it's really a family and child-centered project that we worked on for 9 months together. And out of that really came a lot of hope, which was surprising because you get stuck in a spot sometimes where you think you don't have any assets, you know, when you're dealing with a lot of poverty and a lot of social issues and a lot of things that are really weighty, you can get your eyes on those and you start to lose sight of any assets that you have that could help you come out of that space. And through that process, we got to see some of our assets and start using some of those. And so we kind of joke that we're hope dealers now. That's our favorite,
I like
favorite
that.
Part of our job, being hope dealers. Yeah. So, yeah, we actually have jackets that say, ask me what I got for you.
Anyway, I'd like to say that I try and deal in a little hope myself.
Yeah,
love that.
Yeah. So, anyway, it was six married couples, which I think in this day and age is a little extraordinary in and of itself. But then we just started moving forward with what we called pilot projects, little things to make a change. And it was amazing how people in the community responded to even small things, like posting on Facebook about how much the environment itself had changed, the atmosphere of the city had changed, and how they wanted to be there and they wanted to move back if they left. And it was a place that they wanted, you know, their parents to go older in and that they wanted their kids to come back to. And we really hadn't done a lot at that point. I mean, we filled in a hole that had an old abandoned building and made a little park there and potted a few plants. And just that small thing started to change how people were seeing the place where they lived. And so then we kind of broke off into these pursuing these different bigger things that we wanted to also do. One of them was building a business incubator. And so one of our grassroots team members was Quincy Dabney. He and his wife were on that beginning team, and he ran for mayor and won as a write-in, and so he really, with the city, started pursuing a business incubator. And then the other thing that we really wanted to do was a family healing center, and we really wanted to have a trauma treatment center because we felt like that was further upstream than the addiction and the other things that we were seeing. We felt like most of what we had learned about the struggles from our community were symptoms of the bad and the hard things that people had experienced in life growing up, you know, some of what Misty shared in her story is some of those things. And we wanted to deal with those things. So we needed to.
Well, let's go ahead and take a quick break, Megan. When we come back, want to hear more about the Mountain Shadow Association and how Misty got involved. But first, we're going to take a break and go to the Montana Headline News from Brian Bennett and the Northern News Network.
The U.S. Department of Transportation's Federal Highway Administration has announced the immediate availability of $65 million in quick-release emergency relief funds. It is a down payment to help repair flood damage that caused the closure of Yellowstone National Park and impacted roads and bridges in Montana and Wyoming and the surrounding area. The U.S. Senate has passed a bipartisan agreement on guns that includes enhanced background checks for people younger than 21 and a significant investment in mental health and telehealth resources. Montana, Wyoming, Alaska, and Idaho perennially rank highest among states in gun suicide rates. In January, Montana Highway Patrol troopers organized under the Montana Federation of Public Employees and filed a complaint that centered on new rowing machines the patrol recently purchased. This week, the State Labor Department ruled the Highway Patrol engaged in an unfair labor practice by introducing a new physical fitness test and incentives outside of union negotiations. With Montana News headlines on the Northern News Network, I'm Brian Bennett.
Want to get ahead?
Want to improve your life? Fort Peck Community College offers many resources for students next semester, including tuition waivers. Start earning a two-year associate degree in more than 25 programs. Hybrid and online classes are available. Your success is our goal here at Fort Peck Community College. Register now at fpcc.edu, home of the Buffalo Chasers.
Hey, new guy. Shovel, right?
Yeah, Rake, and I'm not exactly new. I've seen some action.
Yeah, what's your story?
Hey, my last gig, I nearly got electrocuted, almost drowned. That guy never called 811 to see if it was safe to dig.
Our guy calls every time he digs.
It's quick and easy. Any tool can do it. Calling 811 gets your underground utility lines marked for free. It makes every project safer for everyone.
Hey, safe digging is no accident. Always call 811 before you dig.
Know what's below. Tap, click, or call 811 before you dig.
Welcome back to Voices of Montana. Today we're talking to Misty Toynita and Megan Doyle with Mountain Shadow Association out of Lodgegrass, right there on the Crow Reservation. So we are glad to have both of you here. Megan was just sharing a few of the projects that Mountain Shadow Association has started with, or the group of folks who started the association have initiated. And so, Misty, when did you get involved?
At the beginning, when we started Mountain Shadow, we were there before we were even a nonprofit. So when we started meeting, we were one of the couples. And we got involved, and then Megan got me the peer support training, you know, and so I went to it, and I didn't think it would blow up into all this, you know, but peer support started blowing up after I got certified, you know. It was a big thing, you know, and people were using peer supporters at all of the mental health places because they were.
So, Misty, tell us what does peer support mean? That can sound like a broad term. What are you doing? Who is seeking you? What's happening with peer support?
Okay, peer support is something you get certified for. You have to be 2 years clean into recovery, and it's basically somebody that can meet them where they're at and understand where they're coming from. You know, a lot of times, speaking for myself, when I was in addiction, I didn't want to go talk to a doctor or a nurse or anybody, you know. I didn't want to go and tell them what was really going on in my life, you know. But me, I can meet these people where they're at, and I can let them know that I understand because I've been there.
There's kind of maybe a fear of judgment or something if it's somebody who's been in your shoes.
There's no judgment here. This is a safe place, you know, where they can talk and, you know, and what I do is I share a word with everybody in the morning. I pray with them if they need prayer. I encourage, uplift. We have talking circles, parenting classes, which is under Motherhood and Fatherhood is Sacred, Narcan trainings, and that's to go towards the opioid crisis, you know, that we're having, you know, in here and everywhere else in the world, you know, to train people in case of an opioid overdose, to revive them. So that's another thing we're trying to get out there. I feed a warm meal. You know, I give warm handoffs to One Health if I need to send them there to get other services that we don't have right here on hand. And we help with treatment travel. You know, if somebody wants to go somewhere and they set it all up, we can help them get there with a ticket.
Wow. So you do a lot of different things, it sounds like.
I do a lot of different things. And that's along with the Kids Drop-In Center. You know,
well, let's talk more about the Kids Drop-In Center. We have to take a break here. I want to hear more about the Kids Drop-In Center because this is a really interesting service that the Mountain Shadow Association out of Lodgegrass has provided the last few years. And people are going to want to know about it. And you may want to replicate something like this in your community. Before we go to break, I want to thank AMB West, the Arthur M. Blank Family Foundation, for sponsoring this content and supporting Mountain Shadow Association. Arthur M. Blank Foundation is committed to reducing mental health stigma in Montana.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Mm-hmm.